Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I keep catching mine locking up.
my caramels won't stop, which is good. I'm not going to tell them to. The only issue I'm having right now is my red tiger male is absolutely terrified of my red tiger female. Apparently she is a monster. So it's going to take some trickery and some finagling to get him to do what he's supposed to be doing. Of course, I'm just going on the basis that every time I look in there, they're apart. You know, for all I know, they could be locking up behind my back, and I'll just get a whole bunch of eggs and be like, well, all right, that answers that question. So
usually constantly, or are you rotating them out?
He's in there constantly right now because, you know, apparently I've been talking to everybody, and everybody seems to be getting very good success with not cooling, and we're just kind of throwing their males and females together. So I'm not about to, you know, if I can avoid cooling, I'm going to avoid cooling. And so far, it seems to be proving very well. I have the two pairs that I'm doing with the caramels that are breeding, and the red tigers are afraid of each other, and those are the three that I've been doing right now. And it also kind of opens it up that, because normally I don't put my males and females together till after wintering in March, and I usually get babies by July. But what this opens up is that, you know, if the male, like right now my male caramel is in with my penal female, if he makes her gravid, that opens up my male caramel to have like a late clutch with another female, which I'm very excited for. I might be able to get caramel jags out of him this year. So
very cool. Very,
very
cool. Yep. Maybe we would turn around and breed your caramel jag to your caramel female and get some super caramel.
The caramel female is preoccupied at the moment. So, but she's in with a male, and that's my secret project. So we're not talking about that anymore.
Okay, fair enough.
So,
when do we get the reveal on the secret project?
If everything's working out and everything took, I will be glad to tell all. But you know, until I get a clear identification that it took.
Okay.
Not telling nobody. So
now,
is
this something that doesn't exist? Is this going to be the first time world premiere of a?
I'm not exactly sure on the display, on how far their reach is at the moment. That is something I'm probably going to have to get in touch with Nick about. They have been done, but I don't know if they've been done here yet. And if they have been done here, I'm kind of hoping to just get in on the ground floor of it and kind of try to, you know, put my own spin on it, kind of start to get it going.
Huh.
So hopefully it'll
be cool.
Something nice. Yeah, I promise. You'll be like the second person to know.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, I get to be first. 15
minutes before the show, right?
I'll tell you right before the music cuts in so that you can, so you won't have that, you'll have that, like, minute and a half where you can't talk to me, so.
A couple things I saw, I just wanted to mention real quick. Jason was on last week, Jason Balin, and he was talking about that Tiger IJ, and I know you saw it over there on Morelia Python.
Oh, yes, I did.
That's
I very much like it.
Looking, yeah, that's pretty sweet looking IJ.
Yeah, and
you
it's
have
not
success
that,
with that.
Yeah, I really do, because that'd be something cool to start in, just putting into the IJs. I mean, the stripe is nice and broad; it looks very cool. So yeah, I definitely wish him luck with that.
Yep. And another thing I noticed, I meant to mention this last week because it was going to take me into just a quick other topic, was June Weatherall. He's over there in, I think he's from England or the UK. He posted up some shots of his inlands and his caramels. And not only are they awesome snakes, but there's some awesome pictures that he takes. And me personally, I suck at taking pictures. I'm not good at it at all. I don't claim to be. I try my best. But I noticed that you're always taking pictures. It looks like you sort of have the snakes on some kind of branch or something?
Yeah. Honestly, I went to, I'm, like most of us, I'm a huge nerd. So I went on this website called thinkgeek.com. And ThinkGeek has a ton of, like, toys and other crap. But what they also have is this little mini photo booth for taking pictures of things you're selling on eBay. And
okay.
I bought it. It was like, I don't remember the price at the moment. But I set it up, and then what I did is I went to, like, the pet store, and I got one of those fake trees and shoved it in there.
Okay.
So it's got two lamps that come in that, like, shine on this almost, it looks like it's made of, like, white umbrella kind of stuff, and it distributes the light, and it looks really good, and then the baby just perches on the tree and then take the picture. Now, like,
awesome.
Like with you, I'm no good at pictures, so I have my friend who took photography courses and has a much, much, much better camera than me come over and take the pictures, which is why, like, you know, I'll update, and then it'll take me, like, 6 months to do another photo thing. So
okay,
I mean, you know, customers who ask me for pictures will get one really good one and then a bunch of ones from, like, a really crappy Canon. And, you know, they can obviously tell which ones were taken by me. So,
yeah.
Yeah,
it's definitely
then,
something that I'm trying to hone in my skills with that, because I guess that's the way we convey our animals, you know, especially
mm-hmm.
the people on the forums and the internet and trying to sell our animals. I think it's kind of important, you know, to... have a good representation of your animal. That's definitely something I'm working on, and I have gotten better, but I got a long way to go.
Right, and I just use for the adults, I just use the bucket trick, and, you know, it's worked till recently. My panel female didn't want to go in the bucket, and she nailed me something nasty, so, I haven't tried to take her picture for a while.
What
I got is good enough.
Technique.
I have a white, one of those, like, big white gallon buckets. But
yeah.
For some reason, mine's, like, a little taller than others.
Okay.
Like a big white bucket. Like, you either have for, like, paint, or I think mine was used for saltwater tanks. And you put the snake in there, and they curl up in the bottom. And if you set your lens for a macro shot and kind of shove the camera into the bucket and take a picture with the flash, you get the snake, and the flash bounces up off all the white, so it looks like the snake is curled up on a big white background. So,
there you go.
Of course,
there's your camera tip of the week.
That's my camera tip of the week. Don't expect me to do them every week. Because then eventually I'm just going to run out. It's going to be put film in the camera. Make sure it's charged. But that works to an extent. The only thing you can do is get, like, aerial up top photos, and sometimes the flash does wash out a little bit of the snake. So,
yeah,
but it works
for
the moment.
I used to use flash a lot, and then I actually talked to a photographer, and I started talking to him, and he told me with the camera that I had, stop using the flash.
Right.
But the problem is that, I don't know, something on the camera's not set right. So if the snake moves, it gets blurry.
Mm.
So I have, like, a quick instant to take the to take the picture before the snake starts to move. Because anybody that keeps carpets, no, it's not like the ball python. It just sort of sits there. I mean, the carpet python's, like, going all over the place.
it moves.
The python's a little easier to take the picture of, because they sort of just perch there, but carpets just seem, as soon as you do anything, open the lid, anything, you know, they're on the move. So Jason taught me a trick, though. He told me that if you take the water bowl out of the cage or the tub, for some reason they just seem to curl up. I don't know.
Okay.
It seems to work. I don't know.
I'm downstairs right now. I'm going to pull a thing out right now and see if it works. We get to the end of the show for my snake to curl up. Yeah.
Tonight we have on Mo from Mojo Reptile, and I think if you like the color yellow, then you will like what she has to offer.
Also tigers, if you like tigers.
Yeah. 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 Some very, very nice, very nice tigers. I'm trying to weave over one out of her, but she wasn't she wasn't budging. I think
I have something you don't.
Of it. She wasn't giving it up, so.
I have one, but I haven't gotten it yet. I get it December 3rd at Hamburg. You saw it, the one at Hamburg.
Oh, yeah. That one was very nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So I guess without further ado, you have anything else?
No, let's bring on Mo.
Let's bring her on. Okay. Mm-hmm. Hey, Mo, how you doing?
Good.
Welcome
how are you?
Show.
Thanks.
Very good.
How you doing, Mo?
Oh, I'm doing good, doing good. Just trying
good.
To... I'm like you. I was kind of trying to remind myself all day, don't forget to come on the show. Don't forget to come on the show.
and then the one, like, 10-minute span when you're going to forget it is right when you're supposed
right
to call.
Right before the show. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's,
I was in the shower, and I was like, dang, what time is it?
That's awesome. I love it. Eric keeps killing me because it's like Saturday night, and it's like, hey, you want to come out? I'm like, nah, I got to do the Morelia thing. So there
right.
may be an angry mob after Eric at some point because I keep blaming him. So, yeah, just deal with it. Just go with it. It's okay. All right.
Oh, well, priorities, right?
Yeah, exactly. This is the priority. So let's just jump right into it, and we're going to get to the, you know, the stuff that we ask everybody. And, of course, that is what got you into reptiles?
Well, so I'm probably going to be one of the more unique people who will give an answer because I was born and raised in Hawaii, and actually snakes are prohibited there. You can't even have them there. So,
is that because of the brown tree snake that's kind of screwing up Hawaii?
Well, that is probably part of the reason. There's a lot
okay.
of... endangered birds and that kind of things that live there, and so they try to keep the stuff out. So,
gotcha.
Yeah. So as I was growing up, I didn't have any snakes, but I did. I was always playing around with the geckos and the chameleons that were out in the yard, and it was hilarious because my dad was like always afraid of them, but I would always just throw them on him just for fun, and. I just pestered him, and he doesn't like snakes either. So when they came to visit, I think it was last year, he was like, oh, my God. And he could hardly even sleep in the house. He was like, are they going to come upstairs? I'm like, no, Dad, they're locked up. It's always a funny thing. So yeah,
I don't know why people think we all just keep let our animals run loose in the basement. So.
You know, well, just in the house in general, they're like, oh, my God, where are they? Are they going to get out? I'm like, dude, they don't get out unless I open the door.
They don't
really?
Have thumbs. So.
Yes, they're not that creative.
Okay.
But, yeah, so that's kind of my story. And then, so I've always liked reptiles, though. I always thought they were really cool. When we were young, we used to always we would go camping, like on the beach, and the lady whose house we would camp nearby had like this river, and then they would have like tadpoles and all that kind of thing, and me and my sister would play with those. You know, the little things that in life in Hawaii, you know, we don't have a lot, you know, as far as like commercial types of things going on, but we make our own fun.
Hey, whatever works.
Yeah, so that's how I got into reptiles in general, yeah.
Cool. All right. So what attracted you to carpetpythons over the other stuff that you could be working with?
Well, let's see. When I met my husband at the time, you know, we were just dating, and he had a boa constrictor and a ball python. Huh, boring. But paperweight. sorry, ball python lovers. So he had one each of those, and then he had asked me if I wanted to go check out the Mars Reptile Show, which is one of the bigger ones that happens here in Maryland. And so we did that one, and that year I think it was Mike Bell. He had he happened to have the table that was, like, right at the entrance, like, I mean, the first table that you see, and he had a huge jungle female on display, a very classic one, like 50-50 black and yellow. And she was just kind of perched like a conjuro type of thing. And, yeah, that was pretty much it for me. I was like, I want that.
Pointed
know,
right
like,
at it.
Yeah, that's really cool. And so we just kind of walked around the show. And at the time, I didn't know anything about carpet pythons. And so I also couldn't afford something like that, you know, of that caliber at the time. So I actually ended up just buying a jungle male from Outback Reptiles, which is kind of like a wholesaler here in Maryland. They do a lot of the Maryland shows and some of the other ones.
Yeah, I know
so
Outback. They're up here.
Yep, yeah, they do all those shows too. So I picked up a male there, and he was he's a striped male, but his colors aren't quite as bright, but I thought it would be a good place to start. And ever since then, I was kind of learning along the way. I found iHerb, you know, through web searches. And so I kind of started there and talked to a bunch of folks on the forums, you know, just trying to get the husbandry right, making sure I'm doing the right things. And then it kind of took off from there. Then I started researching jungles more because that's what I wanted. And I stumbled upon Mario Trophy Club and John Battaglia. So I picked up a pair from him, and things pretty much just kept going from there.
Like potato chips, okay.
Yeah, so. The usual addiction, so.
It's okay. It's all right. You're among friends. It's all right.
Right.
So, all right, so that was it. So it was the jungles for you from the get-go.
Yeah, from the get-go, definitely.
From the get-go, okay. Now, the origins of Mojo Reptiles. How did you just decide to start breeding and do all that stuff, get started with that?
Well, it was really more of my husband's idea. He was, because he started to get, you know, as I was getting up with the carpets, he started picking up more boas, and he kind of just thought it would be a cool idea if we, you know, did a little bit of breeding and maybe just make some side money, you know, and see if we could make some different lines and just, you know, kind of like start small, just basically make more snakes so you don't have to buy any more.
That is the
but of course,
part.
We all know that never works.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of how we started because I'm not really the best person at marketing, and that's kind of my husband's more strong suit. I'm better. I'm more meticulous about, you know, like taking care of the collection and all that kind of thing. So. But, yeah, so it was mostly his idea, and I kind of ran with it. I thought it'd be a cool idea. And, yeah, we're still very much in our beginning phases. We're just, you know, trying to do some quality projects. You know, I want to make more beautiful snakes. I don't want to just make average ones because, you know, anybody can make an average snake. So, yeah, that's how it went.
Awesome. Now, what draws you on to the lighter side of things? Because anybody who hasn't looked at, you know, snakes like you have Riddler and some of those other ones that, you know, I'm not even sure if you can directly look at them without going blind.
I know, they are pretty sweet.
They are. I mean, like, you know, do you open the box and is there like some sort of glow and like the music that you open it for? I mean... what drew you into getting some of those brighter things going and adding them into your line?
Well, okay, so I started with the jungles, and then I kind of started reading more about the jags, and so I was just looking at jags in general. But then I naturally, you know, chose jungle jags because I like jungles anyway, but I kind of like the, you know, the reduced patterns of the jags. And so I ended up purchasing my first pair, which is Riddler and Harlequin from Mike Curtin. I can't remember. I think I just found him via the internet because I don't think we had ever met at a show before. I met him at a show later, but so I saw him, and at the time, you know, the jags were still like $2,000 each, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, good Lord, I don't know if I can afford that. But so I took the plunge there and just basically hope for the best. But I know when I, you know, when they first arrived, I was like, oh my God, these are beautiful. And, you know, they were only 5 months at the time. And I'm like, damn, if it gets better than this, like, it's ridiculous. And Riddler was the one who surprised me the most. He just kept getting brighter and brighter. And just, you know, from doing all my research, I'm thinking, you know, folks are like, ah, yeah, well, some of them lose their colors as they get older. And I'm like, well, this guy sure as heck isn't. Like, he keeps going. And his sister actually, at the time that I purchased them, Harlequin, she didn't look as bright as he, you know, he did. But she's actually pretty close in color to how he is now, and actually her babies that she produced this year are actually, some of them are pretty sick, so I'm really excited about that. And I think Mike Curtin's actually kicking himself in the butt, because we've talked about it, you know, afterwards, and he was like, I can't believe I sold Riddler to you, you know, I should have kept him. Like, I guess he was saying that, like, he didn't really look like anything special coming out of the egg, and I just kind of lucked up on that. So I'm excited, because he's pretty much the centerpiece of my collection right now. So
nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So what size collection are you working with?
I probably have about 50 or so of various sizes. I think I have, like, 14 adults, sub-adult size, you know, kind of like the males are smaller, of course. And then I probably have like 16 juvies from the 2009, 2010, you know, type of age. And then, let's see, I'm greedy, so I held back like 10 snakes from this year.
I limited myself to two.
It's hard. It's really hard. Especially, you know, for... if it's their first time breeding, and because, you know, I'm still new at this, I don't know how they're going to turn out. So I kind of try to keep more back so I can have, like, an example, like, for the following years, so that when they hatch, I'm like, okay, that one's going to be the good one. That one's, you know, and then I can let this go. And then I have a bunch for sale. But, and then in addition, I also have, we have, my husband probably has about 20 boas. So we have a pretty large collection.
Wow.
Yeah, it gets ridiculous at times. But I'm pretty stoked because I sold two sub-adults over the last week, and so that freed up a little bit of space and allowed us to focus on the other ones. So we'll see how it goes.
Awesome.
Very good. So as far as your jungles go, like what do you have different projects going on with them, or are you... do you have a goal in mind of what you're trying to produce?
Well, more black and yellow. Just kidding.
Which is good.
I kind of, my goal is like, I want to follow Sloop, because he's always been kind of my mentor from the beginning. And so my goal is to have, when my jungles are adults, I want them to look like how his did, like Zalara and Asclepios, like still keep their, you know, their bright colors, and still be clean, and then consistently produce, you know, babies of the same type of caliber. So this year I'm still kind of throwing ideas around for projects in my head. I am basically trying to debate on how many projects I really want to do. So there's two potential jungle projects that I have going on. The one that I was telling you about earlier was it's a Python Pete male to a hare female. And I tried them last year and they didn't go, so but the female may have been too small. So we'll see. I'm going to see if they'll produce this year. And then I also have my female from Sloop that I bought in 2008. She's up to size now, and so I have her brother here, but I didn't want to breed the two together, just because, like, I kind of want to outcross a little bit. So I'm actually doing a breeding loan with Julie. She's GFX, on the forums and stuff. She has actually a bunch of snakes from Andrew Hare's clutch in 2008. So I'm using a male from the, let's see, it's the highlighter Jake's Girl clutch.
Okay.
And so those turn out really nice babies, kind of. Some of them have a more spotted kind of look, but this one looks more a little bit more similar to the female kind of banded. Not really a 50-50 banded, but a similar look to John Snake. So I'm probably going to get that male in on the weekend of the 3rd of December. I think Julie's going to bring him up here. So that's what I have going on right now for my jungles.
Cool. I think that's my favorite jungle in your collection. That jungle is nice. It has got that huge, bright color that just, I mean, it just jumps out at you, and it's got that, you know, nice yellow tipping within the saddles and the black.
Right.
You know, it's just really super, super nice.
Thanks.
I like that one a lot.
Yeah, I like
what about your jungle jags? I mean, I don't think you can get any more yellow than what you have.
That sounds like that's a challenge if you ask me. Try to make it more yellow.
I mean, you look at like I think Mayhem and Rampage. I mean, my God, those things are just. Are you trying to reduce the black in them and?
I don't know.
Zebra without a zebra.
Zebra, yes, love zebra. Let's see. Rampage is actually, he just had a shed the other day, and he's actually starting to smudge up just a little bit. Only in comparison to, like, you know, his siblings. Like, he's still an outstanding jungle jag. But if you're putting him right next to Mayhem, Mayhem wins. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I also have another male, Anarchy, who's a clutch mate to those. And, He has a stripe in his pattern, kind of like Mayhem, but his doesn't go all the way down. It goes about halfway down, and then it's reduced the second half. So I'm up for the challenge of trying to make it better. If I can get him up to size, he's probably about 300 grams right now, but if I can get him up to size, and if he's not afraid of his mother, I plan to breed him back to her and see what 94% jags will be like. And for that particular project, I want to see more striping. Because
black stripe down the back.
Right. Because I don't see that in very many clutches. So,
no.
Yeah, we'll see.
That'd be pretty cool if you could get rid of the saddles and then keep that black stripe all the way down the snake.
Exactly.
That'd be an interesting clutch. Yeah.
Yeah. I just,
I'd break down and
cool.
Get jungles. Yeah.
I will convert you.
Are you willing? I'm glad I can give you a mission in life, Mo. It's okay.
I'm just kidding. No, but I'm gonna try those with Riddler this year. I'm putting him to a diamond jungle female. She's from Python Pete Lines. So I'm gonna see. I want to see how those compare to the Gamma Jags, basically, is what I'm going for there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
I have no idea. So I'm excited, though, because I think the diamonds, it just brings something special in a diamond jungle jag. Those are always really cool. I actually have one of those in my collection, too, from John's Clutch last year. So I'm anxiously waiting for her to get up to breeding size.
Nice.
Yeah. And I was telling Owen when we had John on here, and I there's something about that Gamma line that when you see it in person,
it's just
amazing color. I mean, I don't know how to explain it. I'm telling you, when I went to Luke's house, he opened that drawer and it was like you heard that music like oh, right? Oh. I'm like,
yeah.
What was that?
Yeah,
oh, that's a Gamma jag. Holy.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. I really want to see Gamma in person. That's why I'm hoping I can go to Tinley next year.
Yeah.
What about your, as far as your coastals go, my favorite as your tigers that you have, the two that you produce,
yep.
and of course Morpheus
yeah.
that you got going on. Tell us a little bit about them.
Well, let's see, my male Morpheus, he is, I purchased him from Ted Thompson, Susquehanna Ectotherms, mm-hmm. you guys probably know him.
Yeah, actually I got my male Remus from him. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he's Morpheus, I believe. Morpheus is a 2007. So I picked him up, I think it was like 2008 or 2009 at, I think it was a Manassas or a Havre de Grace show. And let's see, so he's the sire of the past two clutches. The female I got from Mike Curtin. I can't really say the exact lineage of her because Mike just purchased her at a show and the guy didn't have, you know, for any further information other than she was a Coastal Jagsib.
Mm-hmm.
But her pattern for a Coastal is pretty cool. It's kind of like why I bought her, because she looked different than a lot of the other Coastals out there. She has like partial striping, so I think there's some tiger in her ancestry somewhere down the line. And then she kind of has like a 50-50 type of pattern. So, those are the dam and the sire that I use for my projects. Like ratio wise, like, I mean, I know folks have talked about like the tiger gene being like polygenic.
Mm-hmm.
And that people have had like pretty varying results as far as like the amount of striping in the offspring. I think from the last two clutches that I did, it seems like pretty much I've gotten like a pretty 50% ratio. I've half with tiger, you know, tiger dorsal striping, a few that of course are better than, you know, the others. And then, you know, a half that are like normal sibs, whatever you want to call them. So it's been pretty consistent for me, and so that's why I continue to pair them together. I might give them a break this year, though. We'll see. I haven't decided yet. I don't want to do too many pairings because I haven't really moved a whole lot of the 2011s yet, just because I didn't really push them this year. And I'm not really worried. Sales are always better in the spring anyway, so.
Yeah.
So that's, and so anyway, yeah. So the male, his lineage traces back to Jason's line. So it's a Balin line male. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Okay. Now you had a post over on there that you had a YouTube video up, and you were talking about the tiger that you hatched out. You were trying to figure out what was going on with the unique aberrancies in the pattern. What are your thoughts on what was going on?
I wish I knew.
I guess that's why you got to get lucky with patterning.
I think I just got lucky. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, some folks, you know, I've had folks say that, you know, one of the parents has to be a jag. And I'm like, I would give you that if there was any... like the 2011s, there were none that had that unique pattern, and none of them were jags. I mean, there is no way. So, I can't really say there is no way, but, you know, I would have expected to see jags or more snakes that had that kind of unique head pattern, very reduced, you know, just totally reduced, but there was none. So,
yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. I guess I'm going to breed her back to a jag somewhere down the line whenever she's ready. And we'll just have to wait till then, unfortunately.
If you get any loose sticks, it was
meaning,
a jag.
Exactly.
Yeah. I've been meaning to post up on that thread, and I've just been so busy I haven't had time. But I wanted to post up. I have citrus tigers.
Yeah.
In 2010. And I bought probably about, actually, I think I have about 10 of them.
Yeah, you bought them all. I mean, just admit it.
So it's crazy how similar the parents are to what Will Bird has going on. Because he has
yeah.
a tiger. That's the high contrast Queensland tiger.
Right.
Very similar to what you have.
And
then he has
the high contrast.
Yeah.
I have
he has
to,
a
so
coastal, which some people say has jungle blood in it, some people doesn't. But if you would see the picture, and I'll have to email it to you where I can post it up there.
Please do.
It's very similar to the pairing that you have. Now, I have citrus tigers that you would swear were jacks. They look exactly like, they have that same, like they lose the pattern towards the end of the tail. They have that saddle, reduced head pattern. It's very similar to what you got going on. So I don't think they're jacks, only because what I see from a totally different pairing, but similar.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious. I can't wait till she's, you know, of size so I can try to prove something.
Had to be a girl. If it were a boy, we wouldn't have to wait so long.
I know. We'd be done already because she's,
We'd be getting ready to start. Yeah, so.
Exactly. Touche.
Yeah, well, it's somehow. But, no, that is definitely a very good-looking girl. And, actually, I'm dying to see if you can maybe cross her back with a tiger to see if you get even more reduced tiger pattern or, dare I say, caramel. So, but that's
just me. Yeah, well, that is in the plan as well. I did want to, you know, cross her back to her sire.
Yeah.
But I think we shall try to prove this first and see what
first
happens.
And then, Mo, you got to start doing zebras because if you can start getting some of that yellow into zebras, it'll be – talk to Eric. He'll buy you one. He's got like how many – he's got like 20 zebras at this point, right, Eric?
No, not 20. Only 18.
Only 18. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yes, Eric and I will have to talk.
Yeah.
Loaded one. Damn it. Anyway, as far as your husbandry goes and your breeding, what temps do you keep your collection at?
Well, so I'm kind of trying to experiment right now because I just moved into a new house. In my old house, they used to be on the second floor, and it was the warmest room in the house just because of the way it was positioned. And so I didn't really have to use as much heat, I don't think. But anyway, in the hot spots, they're at like 88 to 90. I keep their hot spots there. And then ambient temps is just wherever the room is. Back when I was in the old house, that would probably be, I think in the wintertime, it wouldn't drop below like 72, 73. When it came to breeding season, I would, like, crack the window just a little bit just to let some cool air in, but I don't really do much more than that.
Okay.
Here in the new house, they're in the basement, and so it's an unfinished portion of the house. But the good thing is that the walls are insulated, so it's not like it's totally cold in there. So what I've had to do is kind of do, like, makeshift stands under the bottom cages so that they're not sitting directly on the floor because the floor is just concrete.
Right.
So I'm still kind of trying to adjust a few, like two of the cages in one of my stacks because the hot spot's not getting to where it needs to be. So I need to put a new probe in there and just kind of regulate the bottom ones better because one of my females, I noticed that she was wheezing, and I was like, oh, that's not good. So,
oh, dear God, no.
Yeah. I was like, please, no. So she's been on 24/7 heat. Yeah, so she's doing better, though. She's eating, so I'm not really worried.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, so in that room, it's the same thing. I keep the hot spots at like 88 to 90. Ambient temps is whatever the room is, the same way. I've been kind of monitoring the temperatures, and because my the AC unit, like the furnace, and the hot water heaters down there, the ambient temps haven't dropped below 70, so I'm not worried.
Okay.
But I do have backup space heaters, you know, if it gets colder and if the temperatures get affected, I will use space heaters if necessary.
Cool.
Yep.
Sounds good. Now, for feeding, what do you feed your guys from the neonates on up to the adults? What do you feed and how often?
Okay. Neonates, I just feed frozen thawed. Well, I try to feed everybody frozen thawed. And then, you know, if I have stubborn feeders and they absolutely won't go, I'll try live. So for hatchlings, I'll feed, like, frozen thawed fuzzy rats.
Okay.
And if they won't take those, I will use mouse hoppers. I've actually found that most of them, even if they start on mouse hoppers, will transition pretty easily to rats just from the, like, the first, I want to say the first season that I bred carpets. I probably had about six that were on, that started on hoppers, and I think Mayhem is the only one who hasn't switched over yet, and she's still a mouser.
That's annoying.
It is annoying, but as long as I can find extra large mice, it's not too much of a deal. But
there you go.
Yeah, so, okay, and then let's see. So that's like every 5 to 7 days, you know, typically. After they pass like a year, I'll go to 10 to 14 days. And at that age, they're probably already on like pups or weans, depending on how quickly they started. For sub-adults, same thing, 10 to 14 days, appropriate size, whatever they, you know, whatever they can take. And then for my adults, I usually feed probably every 2 to 3 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, and then frozen thawed, same thing, yeah. Yeah.
Very cool. Now, what kind of caging do you use? You have rack systems for the babies, and what kind of cages do you use for your adults?
I have a kind of a mix and match for adults. I have most of my adult cages come from Animal Plastics.
Mm-hmm.
I have T8s and T10s. The T10s are the ones that I got first. Those are the 4x2x15-inch high. And then I started getting T8s only because they're, like, available for quick ship, and I can get them within, like, 10 business days. So if I need cages, I'll do that. I also have, let's see, Manito, who's my biggest guy. I have him in a 4x2x2, and I got that one from Cold-Blooded Cages at a local show. Let's see. And then I also have some PVC cages from, I think it's Jim Sharphorn. Those are 3x2x2, and I have my adult males in there. So those seem to work pretty well. I kind of do 4x2s for the females. And I also like those, the T8s specifically, because what I do is I divide those and then use it for juveniles, juvenile sub-adult size, split the cage and let them have, you know, I can use one cage for two animals. And then when they get, you know, they outgrow it, then I just take the divider out and let them have the entire cage.
Awesome.
Yeah. And let's see. Oh, then the hatchlings are in shoebox tubs, racks. I have a 36-tub rack that I picked up from someone last year who, I think he got it from PVC cages as well. And that's working pretty well. I had to make some minor adjustments because on some of the rows there was spacing. It wasn't tight enough. So I did have some escapees that way. Fortunately, nobody got away too far. So they were all recovered.
It's always the best time when you open the snake room door and there's someone there to greet you.
Exactly.
God. Anyway.
Yes. Yeah, so I just kind of put newspapers underneath the shoe tub to kind of make it tight. And that's pretty much what I use. I started using also 51 quart, I think these Sterilite tubs. I got the idea from Chris Behoff. It's a pretty cheap way to do a juvenile rack system. I want to say they're probably like 24 inches long, maybe 20 inches high, and then like 18 to 20 inches wide. And so they work pretty well for juveniles and sub-adults. You can kind of put a perch in there. I use PVC because I don't like wood. It's too hard to clean. Yeah. and flex squat on, you know, belly heat on the bottom. And those seem to be working pretty well. It's a pretty cheap way to house 10 snakes. I mean, the shelf system itself is probably like $50. Each tub is like $8. So, I mean, it doesn't cost that much.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's working pretty well. I kind of have to keep my eye on that one a little bit more just because, you know, it's exposed more to the air, so there's more heat loss on those. I think that's more because, you know, my snakes are in a basement. I think if you had a regular, you know, like a room that you were using in your house, I don't think you'd have any problems. Yeah, so.
Okay. And like you said, you just moved into a new spot. What's the setup of your room now? Is it like you have wine in the wall? How do you get it all set up down there?
Yeah, they're basically lining the wall for now, only because I have limited outlets, so I kind of got to be tricky with that too. I'm trying to get more electrical put in because I don't think I'll ever totally finish it because now that the babies are in there, you know, it's too hard. I don't want to have to deal with, like, drywall, you know, when they sand the stuff down and I can just see RI is ridiculous. So at the most, what I'll probably do is have them frame out the walls and install, you know, outlets. I kind of want to do, like, outlets every 4 to 6 feet and also have some in the ceiling so that if for some reason we need to kind of do, like, a row type of organization, then I can kind of just have, you know, the plugs plugged up into the ceiling and not looking messy all over the place. But for now, yeah, they're just kind of lined up against the walls. It's really nice to have a bigger space and just have room to work around. I also have my freezer down there with my feeders, so I don't have to have it mixed up with, you know, people food.
We've all been there. It's okay.
Exactly. My friends are like, do you keep your rats in the freezer? They're frozen.
Don't open that bag. It's fine.
Yes,
just don't look at that.
Leave it alone.
Yeah.
Not
don't look at
that.
I told you. Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah, and I also have a utility sink down there, so that's one of my favorite things because trying to clean tubs and everything in the bathroom and a small, you know, the little small bathroom sink and or bending over in the bathtub it just gets tiring. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. When you and your husband were shopping around for houses, like, were you envisioning where you would put the snake room every time you looked at a new house?
Absolutely.
That was important.
Yes, this is part of the, you know, it's
a selling
it's
point.
A deal breaker. I mean,
yeah.
I need space.
Awesome. Okay.
So as far as breeding your carpets, give us the rundown. You know, what kind of are you cooling? How long are you cooling? What's your temps?
Well, you know, I thought it was funny that you folks were talking about folks having success without cooling, because I really don't cool. I mean, I will say that I just don't really change the temperatures from any other time of the year. Like if I turn off the heat at night, I do it all the time. It's not just during breeding season. So in the old house, maybe I would just crack windows and, like, close the vent, the heat, you know, to prevent the heat from coming into that room. But the room still stayed pretty consistent, and because of the way the sun came in there during the day, it also held the heat pretty well at night as well. So, I mean, I'll still maintain the heat at 88 degrees on the hot spot and just let the ambience be whatever the room is. I may come down a few degrees, no more than 5 if I do decrease heat. But I'm a little bit paranoid about decreasing heat. I'm more worried about having sickness in my collection. You know, if they don't get enough heat, then something's going to happen. And I've had, you know, a couple RIs come through my collection. Most of them have recovered, but I did lose. Remember, Eric, remember when you asked me, a while back about breeding your zebra jag to that jungle that I had from John. It was like a female jungle. Yeah, I lost her. So that was a bummer for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone has stories like that. Everybody does. Some of them don't like to admit it. So.
Yeah, exactly. So I was those always stress me out. So I just kind of let nature do what it does. I mean, they don't have anybody, cooling them off in the wild. So I just let it be what it be. If they're going to breed, they're going to breed. I don't feel like we need to, manipulate that too much. So.
Now, with that being said, do you do any type of, do you use lighting to stimulate? Or you just have a window there?
Well, sunlight
come through? Or?
Well, for right now, it's because it's in the basement, it's in an area of the basement where there's no windows. So
okay. This
will be interesting for me because it'll be different because there are no windows. So right now I kind of just, turn the lights on during the day and, around dusk I'll turn the lights off. Right now I'm just doing it manually, but I need to just put it on a timer and so I don't have to worry about it. I just have, I replaced the bulbs that they had in there with just CFL bulbs. Because they're brighter than the soft watt bulbs that used to be in there. And they use less power too, so that's great. So that's just basically what I'm doing now as far as lighting, because I no longer have the benefit of the windows. So.
Okay. What about as far as feeding when you're going through the breeding season? Still feeding your males and females, or?
Yeah, I actually do feed throughout the breeding season. I basically feed my females. I'll feed them smaller meals though, so like a weaned rat, something just to piss them off. You know what I mean? Like, really, that's all you're gonna give me?
But, also, let's piss off the moms. Great.
At least I that's kind of my interpretation of it. They look at it like, really, that's it? Sometimes they'll even, unravel themselves from it and just stare at it. I'm like, I'm sorry. So I'll offer a weaned rat to the females throughout the breeding season. And then when they stop feeding, they just stop feeding. The males, I will offer, but not as often as the females. So that's really the only time I separate them is when I feed. The rest of the time,
okay.
I just leave them in there together and let them do whatever they'll do. So I know some folks rotate in and out kind of, periodically. I leave mine in the entire time. Unless.
Nice.
I haven't yet used one male with more than one female, so I guess if I ever get to that point, then I will have to rotate. But for now, I just leave them in together.
Yeah, that's the approach that I'm taking this year. I just have my pairs together, and I just leave them together.
Yeah, have at it. Have fun.
Rotating is not that hard, guys. You just kind of take them out of one cage and chuck them into another one.
No,
and,
it's not that hard. It's hard. It's just, I don't know. I want to make
you
sure
know what,
I,
you
know
what I was reading in, I was reading in the book, the carpet python, and they have.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking in the book, they have two methods, and one I guess it pretty much breaks down to one is Justin's method, where he just sort of keeps the pairs together all year long, and then the other is Nick's method, where he's taking them in and out,
yeah.
Right.
Rotating them around and whatnot. And I think that I'm of the approach that I sort of let the snakes figure out what they're going to do.
Exactly.
I don't know when the girl's ready. I don't know when the guy's ready, so I just put them together, and when they're ready, they know they're ready.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Same approach that I had with Heat, and actually Luke is the one that kind of cued me into that, is that he was saying that he keeps his snakes a little bit on the cooler side.
Mm-hmm.
And I had noticed that my snakes were constantly in the water bowls and on the cooler side of the cage. And it looks like, to me, like they were trying to escape the hotter side.
Right.
And I was keeping about 88, 90 degrees. So I dropped the temps down just a bit. And I noticed that they acted different. So that being said, my approach is just to look at the snake, see what the snake is doing, what are the, you know, what's going on with it, and go from there.
Yeah.
Not us try to tell it what to do.
Right.
Awesome.
Yep. That's pretty much what I do, too.
What about, have you ever tried maternal incubation?
I have not. Well, actually, I tried with the coastal female the first season. I was going to try MI just right off the bat. But I think she coiled them for maybe like a week. But then, you know, like Jason was talking about last week, she started to leave them. And I know they leave them sometimes and come back, but she wouldn't come back, you know. So that's when I was like, okay, I'm pulling them. Because she just wasn't doing a really good job at it. It was her first season, and she's kind of on the borderline for breeding age. I know some folks probably wouldn't have bred her that young. But I just thought I'd give it a try, and if she was ready, she would go, and if not, then, you know, she wouldn't. But they got to work. They got busy, like, within 2 hours of introduction, so I was just like, okay, how about it?
Well, all right, then.
Do either of you guys palpate your females through the breeding season?
If I tried that with some of my girls, I'd be bleeding. So, pretty much when I take it is, you know, my one Jag Aurora, Eric, you've seen her. Whenever she's pregnant or grabbing, she's had two clutches for me. If you try palpating her, she will try to kill you. Every other part of the year, she is, you can pick her up, you can scoop her up, she can throw over your shoulder, she's fine. Second she is gravid, you don't touch her, and that's it. Done.
Oh.
So, yeah, I don't palpate. So.
Yeah, I don't either, mostly because I don't know what the hell I'm doing, to be honest. Is that one?
Don't
I don't know. So I just kind of let it fly. I mean,
yeah.
I just keep records of how many they've had, and I'm like, okay, yeah, she looks about the same. Okay.
So, right. Like, for records, you just, like, what kind of record keeping, like, do you keep? I know everybody probably has an iHerb, and I'm probably the only guy who has one, but doesn't touch it. So, do you keep records of feeding, shedding, pooping, breeding, things like that?
Yeah, I'm pretty meticulous about my collection, so I try to do everything. I mean, I'm not gonna say I get 100%, but I'm probably at about 85-90% of everything that I.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, I have lots of points in the rankings. So, yeah, that's just me. I'm anal when it comes to that kind of stuff, so.
Gotcha. And I know you mentioned a little bit of what you got going on. I know you said you're still kind of judging what you might or might not do this year. Do you have any, like, for sure clutches you're going to be doing this year? Because picking up a tiger female that you produced from Howard, December 30.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly which one, and she's sweet. She was almost going to be a holdback.
She's mine, so. And you know, it was one of those animals that Howard showed me in the beginning of the show, and for the rest of the show, I'm like craning my neck as people get close to the table, going, "Get away from my tiger! Get back!" And so it was one of those things that, like, and then I left the show telling him, "No, maybe not." Emailed him that night, going, "Well, we all knew this was going to happen, so just give it to me later." But are you definitely producing more tiger? I know you said you were thinking about maybe not giving them the year off. Like, what are you definitely doing this year?
So definitely I'm doing the Riddler to the Diamond Jungle female. I'm definitely doing that one. I hope I don't get one where it's like a she turns into a he. I will be really bummed.
I hate those.
Because I have had that happen before.
God.
Actually, one of the jungle males that I'm using, the Python Pete male, he was sold to me as a female, and I put a male in with him in 2009, and yeah, that the male was like, holy crap, just running away, and I'm like, okay, this is my first time breeding. I'm like, that's when I really started using YouTube, because I just like, let me get this on video because I'm so new to this. Let me post it online and, you know, see what folks say because, you know, I don't know, I wasn't familiar with breeding behavior or, you know, anything like that. So, and the folks were like, yeah, that's definitely two males. They're not supposed to run like that. I'm like, okay.
All right, good to know.
Yeah. So I actually pulled that male out and put him with another one that I knew was a male just for my own personal enjoyment and kind of had them combating on the carpet. And I just wanted to see, you know, what it looks like kind of like out in the open. And I actually have that video up on YouTube as well. I thought that was pretty cool.
Cool. Yeah, it's very cool.
Gladiator
so, yeah. Fight over your place.
Ready, fight.
So
I'm going to try... I am going to try that Python Pete male to the hare female. They're actually together right now. It's the only pairing that I have put them together so far. I'm kind of in the process of doing that this week. I think they're courting. Last night they were kind of on separate sides of the cage. She was kind of like, I don't really want to deal with you. But when I checked in on them today, they were courting. I didn't see any copulation, but at least they're not on the separate sides of the cage. So we'll see. And then the other jungle pairing, I'm definitely doing the MTC female to the breeding loan with Julie with her highlighter Jake's Girl male from Andrew Hare and Jake Milbrat. It was their project that they did a couple of years back. Let's see. Another one that I'm thinking about doing is Harlequin, who's a jungle jag. She produced some babies for me this year. I'm thinking about putting her with a different male. I'm thinking about putting her with my Morelia Trophy Club male. So John's come from Hemper Stock. So we'll see. I don't know yet. It's just pretty much coming down to like how many pairings I want to do because there's a bunch that I could do. I just don't know if I want to manage that many babies. Cause
right. Little ones. And lots of them. Right. No,
yeah,
I'm in the same boat. I have a lot of 2011s left, and I'm kind of limiting what I'm producing in 2012.
Right.
So that I don't, you know, go crazy. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, and then the other one, of course, is the striped jungle jag that I was telling you about back to its mom. Ooh. For 94% jungle jags. I don't know. We'll see.
I'm still looking at the amount of babies. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, 5 clutches, that's like 80 babies. I don't know about that. Because it's not only feeding, it's caging. You know, that means I have to go buy 2 more racks.
Or 2 more racks, and yeah.
Yeah. And then we get the number of feeders. You know, I still have one. So they're about 5 months old now, and she still isn't eating.
No.
So I've tried fuzzy rats, I've tried mouse hoppers, I even tried quill head.
Oh, wow.
But she has not taken it. So I'm not too worried, though, because she doesn't really have that wrinkled look, you know, when they look just
right.
Like they're about to die.
Yeah. when you're like, well, you're goodbye. So
yeah. And so I kind of treat those like how Jason was saying last week, like if they're stubborn, they'll eat whenever – you know, they're going to eat, and if they're not, then they're, you know, it's kind of like survival of the fittest type of thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to, you know, force them too much because that just stresses them out. So I actually had another one who was a stubborn feeder as well, and he decided to eat a couple of days ago. So he had taken, like, a quail head, I want to say, like, a month ago, and so that was his first feeding, and then he refused a couple more times. But this past week, I left a mouse hopper and a quail head in there with him. And I saw him take the quail head, and then I opened his tub the next morning, and he had taken the mouse hopper too. So
nice.
I was really happy about that, yeah. So we'll see.
Is that how you transition them from quail heads onto rodents? Is just kind of get them to eat the quail head and then quick give them a hopper or something
like
that? Well,
I don't really have a – I just kind of – I guess for me, especially this season, I just kind of put every possible option in there. And you take
right.
what you want. You know what I mean?
Right.
And he just happened to take both, so I was like, sweet. I can
right. Because, I mean, I have coastals, so I don't have any jungles, mm-hmm. any RNGs. All I got is coastals. So
yeah.
I start my guys off on rats solely,
right.
and I do have a few that are stubborn and take mouse pinks. And once they start rolling with the mice, I just slip them a rat, and then they never
yep.
see the mice again.
Yep,
so,
exactly. Yep, once
yeah,
you take rat, I don't give you mouse again. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So I just kind of let them roll with that. So I know people say that when they get older, it's really hard to transition some from mice to rats. So I try to – I find that when they're really tiny, the transition is very simple.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have had some success transitioning from mice to rats in subadults. What's worked for me is I've used guinea pigs. So I'll go from the mice and then give them guinea pigs. Once they're taking the guinea pigs, I give them that a couple times, and then I'll start offering rats.
So I get my Burmese. Okay.
Yeah, I've converted two jungle females like that, so I'm pretty excited. I don't think they're all the way converted because I tried to give her another rat the other day, and she was like, "Eh, I don't know." So I don't know if it was the size of the rat, or it's just she was being finicky that day. I don't know, but it's worked, and they have taken it. So
okay, cool.
So as far as I guess one of the things that we've talked about a couple times on the show is picking holdbacks. So you've gone through the breeding, you've got your eggs, you've hatched them, now you got all these jungles, carpet pythons sitting there, jungle jags. What are you looking for in the babies to pick your holdbacks?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I was like, I don't know.
That's everybody's answer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Well, I will say the first time I hatched the Riddler's clutch, what I did was I talked to Sloop, and I was like, hey, you're good at picking holdbacks. I'm like, here's my babies, because he was interested, you know, in getting one as well. And so I was like, you know, here they are. Which one would you choose, you know, if it was up to you? And he kind of ranked them for me, and I'm like, okay. And from there, I kind of looked at him, and I'm like, okay, I see what he's looking for. So basically, based on the ones that I've hatched out so far, I kind of look for the ones that have the cleanest pattern. So I guess I would say the palest white. I don't know if that makes any sense. And then, let's see, especially the Riddler ones are easier to pick now because I have the 2010s and I know how those have progressed. There's some that kind of come out with a, I don't even know how to explain the pattern. It's not really splotchy, but it's, I don't even know how to, if you go on my iHerb page and you look at, if you look at Anarchy, Anarchy's really clean right now, but when he was, I would say probably about 2 or 3 months old, he kind of had that, I would just say splotchy because I don't know how else to describe it. Whatever that's called, I look for that too because those will turn out really nice as well. And if I'm really not sure, then I'll just hold more back and, you know, just wait until the spring to decide which ones I'm going to sell, which is kind of what I'm doing with the Harlequin clutch right now. Harlequin's a sibling to, you know, Riddler. So
uh-huh.
I'm kind of just holding back most of them. Like I said, I didn't really push a lot of babies. I'll push in the spring, but I'm pretty sure now which ones I'll be keeping because they're already showing their colors. The main one that I picked right off the bat out of the egg was the one that had the highest contrast. I mean, she just basically looked like black and white in the egg. Her name's Envy, so if you go on my page and check her out, she's looking really nice, and her pattern's actually pretty reduced. So I actually have a feeling that the ones produced from Harlequin will turn out nicer than the Riddler babies, if that's even possible, because I feel like the jungle has just as much to do as the jag when you choose the parents for a pairing like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, if you're holding them back, do you find that you have, like, obviously you must have better success in selling them after they've gone through their color change.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that people respond better? And I wonder why more people don't hold back.
Well,
you know, because if you're going to a show and you're looking at the jungle carpet and it's kind of brown and black, and you're
going
to turn yellow and black, I'm wondering why more breeders were, you know, wouldn't hold back longer and try to.
You don't want to hold back a whole clutch the entire time.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
It is a pretty long time. Wait, well, you'll see, Eric, you have a bunch of things going on this year. So.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, ask that question after you've had a clutch.
Okay. Write that one down and we'll revisit in about 6 months.
Yeah. Exactly. So what I will say that I think helps is if you have, like, if you've done repeat pairings, if you bring some holdbacks from the year before and just kind of have them on display, you know, not for sale, but just to kind of give an example of, like, look, this little guy who looks brown and crappy right now, this is what they're going to look like, you know what I mean? So that's kind of the approach that I've taken. I did that at the first show that I vended in Manassas, and I didn't really make any sales, but I had a lot of folks, you know, come to the table because I had Riddler there with me, I had Mayhem there with me, you know, and so they were just like, good Lord, what is that?
I bring my adults with me too, so.
Yeah, that's kind of what I will plan to do as well. I just picked up some, like, the tower displays.
Mm-hmm.
From David Levinson. I don't know if you guys know him. He does the White Plains show, I think. And so he produces the acrylic displays. And so his tower displays, he has dividers in them. So what I'm going to do is, you know, have the parents of each clutch, like, on each level so that you can see, you know, who produced these babies, what their potential is, you know, down the line, that kind of thing.
That's cool.
Very smart.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on the future of carpet pythons? Where do you see carpet pythons going and, you know, with the new morphs coming out and, you know, more people having jungles and those bright animals? What are your thoughts on what's going to go on with them?
I think that, I think it's going to get better. I think right now it's just that the economy is rough and folks just aren't spending money on things that are not needed. I've noticed that there are more folks who come up and talk to us about carpets at shows. Like Jason mentioned last week, Howard and I were at the Havre de Grace show 2 weeks ago, and we talked to a bunch of folks, and, you know, it was them approaching us about carpets. Most of the time it's like folks come to the table and they're like, oh, what's that? Oh, it's a carpet python. And they're like, oh, I don't know what that is. And they just walk away, you know. I think the interest is out there. I definitely think the book is going to help. I mean, who doesn't love the pictures? And, I mean, that in itself just kind of gives you, like, examples of what can be done. And there's a lot of breeders out there who are selectively breeding and just to, you know, bring out the best traits of each animal. So I think it's going to be great. I love the morphs. I don't know if there would be any that I will specifically get into. The one that is lacking in my collection is a zebra. That's probably the only one that I will sort of get into, mostly because it fits into the types of projects that I'm doing. I will probably stick with the jungles and the jungle jags and hopefully work some zebras in there. Even when these other morphs take off, I will probably stick to the stuff that I like, and just, you know, keep selectively breeding for color and pattern. And because I think for some of those morphs, you're still going to need quality examples of the basic ingredients. So,
absolutely.
Yeah,
that's
kind of where I am. I think naturally, I have hope that the Ocelot Jags, the Ocelot Jungle Jags that Mike Curtin and Paul Harris have. Riddler and Harlequin also come from that line. So there's potential for that as well. I did have one in the Riddler clutch this year. Unfortunately, it died in the egg. Oh, my God. Yeah, I was
kicking the teeth.
Yeah, so bummed about that. I was so bummed about that one. But so I will continue to breed the Jungle Jags and hope for some Ocelots. And I think that's pretty cool. I've seen Jigsaw in person, and he's ridiculous.
Yeah, he is.
I haven't seen Link yet, but I can only imagine that he's just as cool. So I particularly like that project that Mike is working with, and I really wish him success with it because I just think that's so cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Do you see the market becoming saturated with your Jags and your Tigers and your Jungles and your Coastals? Do you see that happening?
That's really a hard question to answer because I do see more ads for carpets on, you know, the various forums like Kingsnake and Fauna and, you know, that kind of thing. And I do see some that are not, you know, for folks who have a keener eye, that's just projects that are being done that I'm just like, why? But,
what, you don't want a carpool? Come on.
Gosh, yeah.
Of course you doesn't.
So, I mean, it's hard, though, because I don't know if there's more out there because more people are making them or more just because they're not moving as fast, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think sales are slow, but I don't think it's because the interest isn't there. I think it's just because folks are having a harder time justifying, you know, spending a couple $100s on an animal that, you know, if you're just going to keep it as a pet as well, you know, it's a pet, right? So, I mean,
right.
It's something that's not necessarily needed, especially for someone who's raising a family or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I think about, you know, when I think about the market is I think about, you know, someone like you who is focused in on, you know, trophy jungle Jags, and then you take somebody like Luke who really has refined the Erie and Jaya line.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You take someone like John, who, you know, I mean, as far as the Diamond Jungle Jags, you know,
oh, yeah, he's got
the game.
Yep.
And, you know, so, I mean, that if you're focusing in on a project and you're really taking the time to selectively breed and really trying to produce trophy animals, I don't see that ever becoming saturated.
I
mean, because even if you're just going to keep that animal as a pet, and even if it is only $100, you know, you're still, I mean, there's still going to be demand for something that, you know, if somebody likes yellow, they're going to want, you know, what can be better than a 97% jungle jag? I mean, you know, you know, I just see that demand won't go away. I don't think that you're going to see, you know, people that just put two carpet pythons together and maybe get not such great results.
Yeah.
The pretty ones will sell. No. Ugly as sin ones will stay on King Snake forever. So that's just how. That's the lessons we learned here. Yeah. Cobra food for all. Anyway.
Oh no.
That's right. I went there.
Yeah.
What about as far as, you know, I know you use YouTube a lot. Do you find that to be a good marketing tool? Do you find a lot of interest come from that?
Yeah, I think it does help a lot. I actually got an inquiry this week from someone who caught me on YouTube. And, you know, I don't always remember to say Mojo's Reptiles at the end, you know, so that they know, you know, who's consistently like, this is me. But, he had happened to catch, I think it was my 2010 update video, and so he had sent me an email saying that he was interested in a jungle jag and, you know, he would be willing to wait till the spring due to the weather and everything. So And I also get a bunch of folks on there, you know, just kind of, I mean, I really like it when I get comments that are to the effect of, I'm not a carpet fan, but that's just ridiculous. I might have to change my mind. You know what I mean? Like those, that's pretty cool. I'm like, okay, so I'm changing people's mind. This is awesome. You know?
Slowly converting.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. and so it's pretty easy for me. I have the awesome iPhone, so I can just do video on my phone and automatically upload to Facebook or YouTube. So, that helps me from a time perspective, you know, when you're in there just cleaning snakes or feeding or whatever, it's easy to just get quick snippets or quick pictures and just kind of put them up there, so.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
What about Facebook? Do you find that helps you at all?
Yeah, I think it does. I've actually have a lot of folks who, quote unquote, like Mojo's Reptiles. From folks who I've never met before and just kind of, you know, come on there and comments, and I've gotten some, you know, some inquiries. Not all of them pan out, but, you know, I naturally use Facebook for, you know, just my normal web page, and so having a Mojo's Reptiles page is just, you know, just kind of natural for me, so I decided to use that as well. I've also had some success from Fauna as well. A lot of my inquiries come off of Fauna.
Okay.
iHerb also works. And then, of course, the MP forum definitely helps because I'm, you know, I'm a regular active member there. So I basically try to get to as many as I can. And the only one that I haven't really done is King Snake. I don't know why. I just, meh.
Yeah. It's working for you. Why? Change it up. It's all right.
I was just like, and then I have, you know, our website, which is, you know, I decided to use Google just because it's economical. It's free and it's pretty easy to use and update pictures and that kind of thing. So that's pretty much what I use.
Awesome. Now, do you vend shows?
I don't do a lot of shows. I've done, let's see, three. I've done the Manassas show in Virginia, and I've done the Havre de Grace show a couple of times. Howard and I will be back there on December 7th. Not 7th,
okay.
17th. So we'll be doing that show, hoping to catch some folks looking for Christmas presents.
Which everyone, a carpet python, makes an excellent stocking stuffer.
Yes.
For even the one who's not experienced with snakes.
Exactly. I mean,
yeah, come on now.
Yeah, I mean, it was the first snake I ever bought, so. You got me.
Yeah, okay. So you do that, you do Havre de Grace, and what was the last one?
Manassas. And I thought about coming up to Pennsylvania and doing some shows up there. I don't know if I do Hamburg, though, because there's so many people there. I mean, it's a good thing because you have tons of customers there, but it's so crowded in there.
You can't come to PA. That's my territory. Get out. Sorry.
I will.
You got to move, too.
Come.
All right.
All right.
Actually, you should Hamburg gets a lot of foot traffic.
Yeah.
But there is, in my opinion, there's always plenty of room for more carpet python people there. Because,
yeah.
You know, if it's, and I know Jay, I do more shows up here. I also do Reading and Oaks and Lancaster sometimes when they put those
okay.
on.
Mm-hmm.
And those shows, you know, sometimes Jason comes up to those shows. And if they're slow, you know, he and I just hang out. So
yeah.
he locks all his displays and just comes over to my table. So,
yep.
You know, it's really, really not that big a deal. So it would be definitely cool to have more people hang around. Or you should just come up to the December 3rd Hamburg show and just stop by my table.
Yeah.
Last Hamburg show, I had like 8 people around my table and nothing was being sold. We were all just talking.
Just like, so. Yeah,
Eric
sure,
was
been.
One of them. It's okay. So
yeah.
Yeah, I have been up to the Hamburg once or twice. And it is a cool show.
Mm-hmm.
I had talked to Mike Curtin at the time, and I think I also talked to Jason up there once. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was kind of the same kind of thing, you know, not necessarily a whole bunch of people. So it's nice, just, you know, everybody around sharing stories. what's the latest and greatest in the Morelia world?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any future? Do you have any tips to give anybody who's maybe starting to get into vending, or, you know, would maybe start selling babies or have a show and display Eric, things like that? Somebody who needs to get ready.
I would say invest in good acrylic displays that, you know, folks can see your snakes from across the room. Because right now I've been using, like, the deli cup type of display, and it's not the best thing for attracting attention, because folks have to be right up on your table to see it, you know, to see the snakes. So I would say invest in good display cases so that folks can see you from across the room. I would also recommend accepting credit cards, because folks, it just, you know, if you can charge it, you're probably more likely to sell a snake, especially if they're on the borderline, like they want it, but they're kind of like, eh. And I know.
How do you take cards, Mo?
Okay, here we go. Yeah, traditionally, I know, like, a roadblock for a lot of people is that you have to rent those credit card machines, and then there's cost for renting and all that stuff. So there's this cool thing. If Jason and I use it, it's Square. It's an application on your Android. Yeah, Android or iPhone.
It's on my iPhone. It's fantastic.
Yep. Yep. Use Square, take credit cards. It's a standard 2.75%, and it's only charged when you make a transaction. There are no maintenance fees other than the transaction. So that's a really good way to do it easily, cheaply, on the fly. You know, that's what I use.
And it makes your iPhone a business expense. But
definitely.
Neither,
yeah,
here nor there.
I mean,
yeah. You got to get a new one.
Yeah, they track all your transactions for you. Just print out the spreadsheet, you're good to go. So, and it provides receipts to your customers, geolocated to exactly where the purchase took place.
You can send them a picture of the baby.
Yep. Exactly.
This is what you bought, yes.
This is what you bought. This is how much you paid. This is where you did the transaction. Here you go.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic.
It's awesome,
and I think you don't have to pay for it either. You just got to
go
online and get the Square and then download the app.
Yep, and they deposit into your bank account within a couple of days. And so it's not like PayPal where, you know, you get into PayPal and then you have to transfer it into your account. That takes a couple business days, and then you have to wait for the funds to be available. Nah, it's just, it goes directly into your bank account, so it's cool.
Oh, yeah, fantastic.
Yep.
Huh. So, and Mo, what kind of acrylics do you use?
Well, I just purchased my case from, like I said, David Levinson. I'm actually picking it up probably at the White Plains show next week. I think Howard and I are going up. I'm pretty sure I'm going. I think
White
I have another
show next week.
Yeah, it's the 27th. Isn't that crazy?
Damn, all right, well, I don't think I'm going to make it.
Yeah, so it's I just purchased one for now and see how that works. He has some options that you can do. He kind of tries to custom them based on the type of snake that you're selling. So for carpets, he has, like, where you can put dividers into the, you know, into each slot if you want, or he can also put rod stocks so that they can have a perch. He says he uses those a lot for chondros, so he recommended it to me. So I'm kind of giving it a try, seeing what works. Will the babies use it? You know, that kind of thing. He also offers the same options in his acrylic towers. Well, he'll also do dividers and rods in those as well, if you want them. So, of course, there's, you know, you pay more for specific options. He also has ones that have LED lighting on them as well, so we'll see. I'll let you know how they work out.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm always, I have the Herb Cages ones, so if I can replace those in a few years, those would be nice, but they're serving me well right now. So
yeah, I know a bunch of folks use the ARS ARS displays. Yeah. So.
Whatever. Now, this is something that is close to Eric's heart, is the carpet row. How would you feel about a carpet row situation in the East Coast shows?
I'm all
about
it.
Being involved in something like that, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. I'm all about it. Yep.
Cool.
You know, the more
I feel
I'm
like,
thinking about the carpet row thing, I think the secret to the carpet row, the more I hear people talk about it,
yeah,
you have to get a group of people together
that have different,
that each
like,
focus on,
yeah, on different things,
different
yeah.
something, yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Otherwise, you're just going to be smashing on each other's business, and that
exactly, yeah.
Yeah, that's no fun for anybody. So if you can all focus on something different,
you
can have a blast.
Take somebody like you guys, me,
mm-hmm.
and Luke. I mean, everybody offers something different, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and you're focused on coastals.
Mm-hmm.
I got more.
Right. You have, you
yeah.
know, pretty
you have
things
everything.
That have horrible months.
head and head.
Yeah. Discuss young old, and Luke would have Erie and Giles. And to
yeah,
me,
yeah.
that's the representation of what I'm looking for as a carpet pro.
Yeah.
Because to me,
that makes sense.
When the customer's coming in, they're walking across the show, here's a group of people, and the carpet python world is just set right before their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what's going to make,
yeah.
that's what should be happening at the East Coast shows.
Yeah,
and
I
that's
agree.
When where they decide where they believe that they would fit or what works
yeah.
best for them.
Yeah,
makes sense.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of working for Howard and I. Howard Redding, he just started his company, Redding Reptile Breeders, and
mm-hmm.
So we vend the shows together, and that works well for us because he has MBB Coastals, Madame Blueberry Line Coastals. That
mm-hmm.
he is breeding, and I have the jungles and the jungle jags, so we have different things. So it's not like we're stepping on each other's toes.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. So.
Awesome.
So my favorite question to ask is:
yes,
if you
I love
could
this
have
question.
Any type of carpet python or any type of Morelia in general, any species, subspecies, morph. Locality, anything. What would it be?
Oh, there are so many.
No, you have to pick one though.
Okay, one. Well, if I have to pick one, then it would have to be the zebra, hands down. Zebra.
Okay. Cool. Right, now, the flip side of the coin. What about any non Morelia species? Because Eric got me with this one a few weeks ago, and I've been thinking about my answer, and I think my answer sucked. So. No.
I was actually thinking about that question because I had a feeling you would ask me. So, the only thing that prevents me from getting them is their size. I follow prehistoric pets on YouTube, and they have some sick reticulated python morphs. Oh, my God.
God.
Yeah,
they're monsters, though.
Yeah, they're monsters. I know they're ridiculous, and that's why I don't have them. But they're so cool to look at. They have this pinstripe one. Oh my God! And then they have like some tiger craziness. I don't know. It's pretty sweet. I like to look at them, but I'm just like, good Lord, when they come out of the egg, they're already like a juvenile carpet. What the hell?
Eat large mice coming out of the egg. What the
exactly.
hell?
Exactly. So I'm just like, those are pretty to look at. I would never really have one. If anything, I've actually thought about getting like a Burmese. But those get pretty big too. Not as big as the reticulated, but I think Burmese are cool. What else have I looked at?
I love my Burmese. I think every person should try to rescue, give a Burmese a home. There's plenty out there who need them.
Yeah, it's a shame because they get sold. I mean, so
yeah, I know. I'm doomed. It's okay. So,
folks,
it's funny
folks
you guys say that. The Burmese is where I started pretty much in reptile. It's
uh-huh.
like I had, I probably had about 10 of them.
Wow.
What?
And
you're shorter
I
than I am,
them.
Dude. You're like, 'cause your life was in your hands.
Yeah. My dad had them when I was younger, and I don't know, I grew up with them, and it's just something I always had. But when I got back into snakes, I started back with the Burmese, and I had the green, I had a labyrinth, I had the albino, had an albino green.
Wow.
Pet brown.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like
Jeez.
The labyrinth. The labyrinth is pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah.
I have an albino, and she's as dumb as a sack of hammers.
Nice.
So,
yeah, that's pretty dumb.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, I'm not giving her any credit, so.
That's classic.
So you'd be looking at some Burmese pythons and some retics and
craziness, right?
Yeah. Now, like, would your husband be okay if you ended up just getting a retic? Like, are you your own voice of reason, or is he like, you know, no?
Well, he thinks they're pretty cool too, but besides, yeah, definitely not. That's
okay.
It's never gonna happen. Yeah. I just like to look from afar. Yeah.
It's fine.
I guess so with that being said, what do you think about, like, you know, you have the book. I'm assuming you have the book, right?
I do.
Complete
have a book.
Complete Proper Python?
Yeah.
If you don't, that'd be bad.
I know.
What would be your favorite Morse in the book?
New question. Oh my god.
I know, right? I like the Ocelot Jungle Jags because, well, it's close to home for me, and I just think the pattern is really crazy. So I'm excited. I really hope that Mike and Paul can find a way to produce those on a more consistent basis. I'm curious to see how the genetics, you know, which specific genetics are, you know, affecting the animals to produce that pattern. So that's the one that sticks in my mind. I also like the Super Zebra, of course.
Yeah.
It's all yellow. Hello.
That's why I want you to get the zebras. You know, you got that bright freaking yellow. Imagine an all yellow brightness. Yeah, okay, do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Yes. Trust me, I imagine it. It's, yeah.
That's why
like
I
see it all the time.
Pairing with her with my zebra jack.
Exactly. Yes, Eric, we must talk.
Just send the zebra jack down there and see what he does. She's got plenty. I mean, come on.
I can't even imagine what that would look like. But,
it would look
bright. It'd just be yellow. Just imagine a banana, and there you go. Or a highlighter,
that's
even better.
Question,
yeah.
Alan, what about you?
What do you mean? Oh, the
favorite
in the book?
Yeah.
You know I'm absolutely in love with, you know, the caramels and the tigers.
Yeah, those
I believe the caramel tiger in the book was, you know, not as pretty as it could have been. So I was a little disappointed about that. But the salt and pepper inland looked crazy to me.
Very cool.
And I want it. I don't know how I'm going to get it, but I want it. Those look good. And that's like, you know, of course, my friend Jason and I talk every once in a while, you know, about joint projects and things we're going to do because I've sucked him into the carpet world. And I'm like, and he's like, inlands, we should do inlands. I'm like, inlands are... There's nothing really going on there. And then the book comes out, and, of course, I look like an idiot when, you know, you page to the inland section. I'm like, what? And now I'm like, all right, inlands are on the list now. Okay, they're up there. It's okay now. I'll shut up now. So, yeah, the salt and pepper inland probably, you know, saved inlands in my collection. You know, now they're up at the top after jungle.
Yeah, those are pretty cool.
Yeah, so what about you? Did you find anything, Eric? I know you, like, you know, have
I
most
think
of the book in your basement.
Is probably, I really like the Hypo Brettle.
Yes, I was just looking at that.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about them, but I just think they're really cool.
You got to get some because you have those stripe brettles, and the Hypo with the stripe would be...
Yes.
Yeah, get on them.
I'm checking that motion. Go, Eric, go.
Call Nick now. You hang up and call him.
And I guess the other one is I really like the Hypo Coastal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that
they're really cool.
God, I forgot about that one. Damn it. All right.
There are too many.
Yeah, I know. It's,
I like the Ivory Jungle,
kind of,
too.
Yeah, those are good, too. I mean... Yeah, they're like trying to pick your favorite color M&M. It really doesn't matter. They're still all great. So
yeah. I think the other cool one, which is not in the book, but it's definitely something that I'm chasing, is the albino super zebra, because now you're going to have an all orange snake.
Really?
That's my thought.
Wow.
Because you're going to have something similar to, like, an albino tiger retic.
See, I'm stuck on the Exantic jag, the silvery kind of beautifulness. And do you have one, Eric, or do you have a het jag?
I have a het.
Okay.
Het Exantic.
Good.
But they're actually a little different than the
You let
know.
Me know
I don't
when
know
you
how
start...
to explain it.
Yeah.
They just look different than normal jags.
Okay.
I don't know.
If you start making those, you tell me. So, because those are on my list. So, like, high on the list.
Okay.
But, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to the snow projects coming up. And then, you know, if the genetics are anything like boa, retic, and other genetics, ghost is coming down the line, sun glow, moon glow, all that fun stuff. So it's going to start getting really crazy, which I'm excited about.
You know what?
I
want to
see it
pretty...
all in tiger form. So.
That's exactly what I'm pretty. That's pretty much the center of my idea of what I'm doing. I have everything that can be striped is striped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm trying to take, like, for instance, the gamma jag,
mm-hmm.
and taking it and put it with the citrus tiger, and making a striped gamma jag. I mean, that would just be ridiculous.
In your basement, like, do you walk around and yell, throw the switch, Igor, before you start putting them together and making these Frankenstein monsters that will look amazing, but
I mean,
still.
I just can't imagine what a striped gamma tiger jag.
It would look crazy.
It would look crazy.
Yeah.
All right.
Eric, I second that motion. Go.
Yeah, go on. Don't you come back till you're done. All right, now why the hell haven't I gone over to your place and seen these things?
Mapping out my, I'm pretty, when it comes to, like, reading, I don't know if anybody else, if you guys have done this, but when I set out to figure out what I wanted to buy, I actually sat down with Copybook, figured out what I wanted to do, figured out what I need, how to do it, and what would be the easiest way to get where I wanted to get there.
Huh.
So I pretty much had my pairing set until 2016.
Wow.
I am
exactly
up for sick.
Someone who is more methodical than me. That's awesome.
God, I am like, okay, you know, Eric, that special project, didn't know I was doing it until like 2 months ago, okay? I'm just like, you know what? Why not? So I kind of just get the things, and then I stumble around my room going, you know what, you're good looking, and you would produce these things. Go in there, do that. So there's no method to my madness.
Well, you know,
there's
I mean,
just
people starting out into, I think that's where the selective reading comes in. It's like, and this is where I sort of went. If I wanted tigers, I went to Jason Balin.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I wanted
the right ones.
Rattles, I went to Nick Mutton.
Right.
And I want, you know, all these different people that had, you know, just watching them on the forum and, you know, okay, this is what I want because they make the best. This is what I want because they make the best, you know. And then, you know, putting it all together and not just having,
getting the pieces.
You know, because Will Bird's not going to meet up with John. And they're not going to do a breeding run together. But, I don't know. I'm not just buying a snake at a whim. I actually
no, that is true. I'm very meticulous. Like, I'm very picky about tigers in general. Just they have to. They like. It took me 2 years of searching before I actually picked up my boy Remus, and both my red tigers. Oh, excellent. That's why I knew I picked her for a reason. So I picked her to go with him. It's like, it's been a while since I've seen her, so I need to, like, get reacquainted with her in my head. So
she almost stayed with me, I will say that.
Which is good. I want those kind of animals. So when the breeder's like, it's hard to let this one go, I'm like, good, give it to me. So, yeah, definitely picked her up because I was picky about my tigers and, she will go well in my projects.
Oh, so. Good, I'm glad. I like keeping it in the family, you know, where you can kind of keep an eye on them, and, you know, it's not hard to get updates on stuff that you produce. I think that's pretty
cool. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And on my website, I do justice to people who, you know, produce them. I'm like, this one came from this person. I didn't do it. Someone else did.
Yeah.
Well, I'm much more talented than I am.
Exactly. So. Yeah, I'm all about advertising the folks who I... you know, purchase from. I'm like, yeah, they have sweet stuff. Go to them.
Call them.
Yeah. So,
I just think that's I think that's a smart way to go. I think Nick might have actually steered me in that direction. I sort of had that idea already of what I wanted to do, but he sort of cemented that whole, you know, make sure that you think out what you're doing. And
right.
Right.
Just makes it much, much, much easier, you know. So.
Well, everything's
cool
done
things
for you.
Coming up. Hopefully, if those things pan out, because when I'm writing in my copybook and looking at some of the results that can happen, I was pretty excited.
It's very exciting. It's going to be very interesting if it pans out.
Yeah, you got some
and then
cool
to see
stuff.
What other people are going to do is, you know, I think just carpet pythons are just, I don't know. I think they're going to take off. I just see from the, I look at our Facebook page and I see the downloads on the show. And to me, it looks like people are taking interest. So.
Yeah,
I hope so. Otherwise, I'm in trouble. So, but there was,
you're in trouble.
It wasn't the last Oak show, it was the one before that. I offered up a JAG. For a trade with some for some children's pythons, because, you know, I do the spotteds and I want to get children's and things like that. And the guy actually turned to me with no teeth and a can of cheese whiz and said that carpet python was a dying market.
What?
Yeah, and I had to have – my girlfriend at the time had to grab me by the cuff of the shirt and pretty much drag me backwards because I was about to be like, what the hell are you doing? And then he just kept – somehow I'm walking backwards as I've got this stunned look on my face. So, yeah, I really hope we take off just so I can be like, dying market, huh? Next time I see the cheese weed is eating. I'm sorry. Yeah, it was my angry moment for the show.
How dare you insult my hobby?
How dare you, sir? Pistols at dawn. So.
Nice.
And then, like, just the last thing that I wanted to touch on, I don't know if you guys had anything, was the Carpet Fest. And I don't know if you guys caught over there. I posted up that new
we're still trying to decide where it goes. Yeah.
Well, I think the problem is that trying to figure out where to have it, meaning...
A lot of people want to come, and it's very hard to try to... Like, I feel bad because it's almost like we're neglecting a few people that really want to come. Once we decide where we're going to put it, so we pretty much need to find out the best place to try to include as many people as possible, and that's where we're hitting the hard part. So,
right.
I think party at Moe's, and we all go there.
Well, I would have to talk to my husband. You know, it's not just me.
Don't worry, he'll figure things out when we all arrive. It's okay. Surprise.
Like, who are these yahoos out here? Morelia, what?
What the hell? These are your people. So.
He's like, I don't see any boas out there. What's going on?
We'll bring one just to put in the corner for him.
Yeah.
Actually, in the Maryland area, I think it's one of the places we were thinking about going, right, Eric?
Yes.
Kind of right down in there, because isn't that kind of like, it wouldn't be too far from Pennsylvania, New York, and then there's Maryland, and then the outlying states from there. It'd kind of be like one central place kind of deal.
Yeah, because I know there's a couple folks down in VA, and there's a couple folks in North Carolina, so.
It'd be a little bit of a trip for some people from other places, but it would be kind of localized.
Right.
A little bit.
So I guess as far as Maryland goes, like what I mean, where can you have an event like that? Like, I don't know. Is there like, because one of the things I was thinking is you can have it at a if you have it at a hotel, you rent a ballroom.
I really want the ballroom to say that.
About that.
Are you here for the carpet fest? Sure. I want to hear that said once if we have it at the. I want to hear it from like the hostess, the person at the carpet fest. Yes, I want to hear them say that to me. Otherwise, I'm not coming in.
Well, the, and
just
the only
that out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, that's funny. the advantage to that is that, you know, if people are drinking or whatever, and you know they want to drive,
where we may,
crash in the hotel, you know, so that's advantageous.
And if we set up a meeting, they sometimes give like group rates if you're doing a conference
right.
in the hotel. They give group rates and they put you all on the same floor. So that would just lead to, you know, me tying a rubber band or something around your door, Eric, and like make it so you can't get out. I mean, my shenanigans would just become in full flamed and everyone would hate me by the end of it. It's okay. So.
Nice.
But
so like,
that would be something
and then
that we should look into.
I think about, would you have it, if you have it like outside, you know, let's say like, you know, a park type of thing or, you know,
I think if you do it indoors, you can just kind of write off that you don't even need to worry about the weather. Whatever the hell it's doing outside,
that's
it doesn't
true.
Matter. Also, you don't need to worry about if, say, somebody wants to bring a snake to show off or showcase, you don't have to worry about it possibly being sick.
That's true, too.
Yeah, also the park, then people have to make their own accommodations that are away from a hotel or they have to go someplace or pitch a tent or sleep in their car. I mean, almost the hotel would seem like a more convenient way to go and would ensure more people coming out.
That's true.
So that would just, that just would make sense to me.
Okay.
That's all.
Makes sense to me too. Is there anywhere down there? No? Anywhere that you would recommend looking?
They don't believe in hotels in Maryland. So.
I don't know.
I'm not native to Maryland, so I'm not the best person to ask.
I'll check Jason down on the 3rd.
Yeah, maybe ask Jason. I would think maybe like somewhere around the Timonium venue, because that's where they have the larger reptile shows here in Maryland. If there's any hotels, I think there's some hotels in that area where they host other types of events, like some of the motorcycle clubs down here have one up in Timonium. Mm-hmm. I can't remember which hotel it is, though. I want to say it's a Hilton or... But that's kind of what they do. They, you know, rent the ballroom and just have a party. So I will try to look up some information. But, let's also talk to Jason because he's from here. So, and Howard might know some, too, so I'll ask him as well.
Cool.
Yes, yeah.
What about as far as, like, here's my other thing. What would you like to see happen there? I mean, do we get somebody to talk? Do we just hang out?
We can broadcast an episode from there, but I mean, like, you know, just craziness. You're just going to be screaming and, you know, us talking on our phones. Yeah, I mean, that's...
I thought we could just do a quick... thing from there just to
keep
going on.
Yeah.
We can
so,
do
I mean, that,
and also people can bring animals.
Talking about having an auction.
Yeah, that would be cool.
You guys can have an auction, I'll watch. So.
Who's going to be the auctioneer? Who can speak quickly?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ellis.
I got $5.
They're sold. Sold to me for $1. So, I mean, like, yeah, I mean.
That would be cool, though.
That would be nice. I think it would be great, and I also think
and
you
then,
can get USARC involved with that
definitely.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Have proceeds go to USARC. That would be sweet.
You can also have people who have animals that, you know, people might want to see. You can have them bring down and showcase them.
Yeah, that would be cool, too.
Yeah. I mean, there's always that. You can invite maybe, you can have the books sold there. You can have something go on there at the Carpet Fest to do something.
Mm-hmm.
There's always options for something to happen.
Yep.
So we'll work on that.
Cool.
Let's get the venue and let's get all that. Then we'll decide the docket and what's going on in it.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Baby steps.
Baby steps.
time in like 30 seconds, right?
Okay.
Yeah, and well, I believe it'll hold us over to we just won't be live anymore, but the
right.
You can listen
we can,
to it later on.
We'll try to get the plugs and stuff. Let's just quick Mo, what's your website?
It's sites.google.com/site Mojo's Reptiles. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Mojo's Reptiles, and also our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Hawaiian Sista with an AH at the end. That's where we do most of our stuff. And on the forums, by the same name, Hawaiian Sista. And I think that's basically where we are. Yeah.
Cool.
Okay.
All right, and of course they can find you at any of the shows that you mentioned earlier, Habit of Grace,
yep.
And the two other ones that you mentioned.
Yep.
Yeah. So thanks a lot, Mo, for coming on and entertaining us, and you know, it was a good, it was really nice talking to you. It was very fun.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
I really appreciate being invited on, and I think this is really cool. I hope it continues for a long time. So.
Well, I hope so, too. Otherwise, this is going to be real quick. All right. Thank you very much, Mo.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Have a good
All
night.
Guys. You, too.
Good night.
See ya. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah. No, you, too.
Okay.
All right. So we got the other plugs to do. You want to hit the list?
Yeah, I'll hit it real quick. Of course, as always, we got MoreliaPythons.com. Go over there, check it out, sign up. Everything related to carpet pythons, everything you need to know is over there. Also, another website that I wanted to throw out there from our Australian friends down under is www.morelia.com.au. That's an Australian Morelia-based forum.
Ooh.
Go on there and check it out. I don't know if you've been on there, Owen. It's pretty cool.
No, you know I haven't.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't even done the Bush League thing. Yeah.
Well, that's another one. Bush League Breeders Club. Definitely another cool carpet spot. Definitely a cool forum. A lot of people over there. Really good people. We should plug the Hamburg show.
Yes.
What is it, 12-3?
It is the 12-3. Yes.
Yep.
I will be vending there. You can always check out the booth, look for Rogue Reptiles. I know Jason will be there, and he's a East Coast Serpents, and he's usually always there.
Yep.
I think those are the only Morelia people that we know of that are constantly there and have and focus mainly on the carpet pythons, or me and him. So definitely come on out. You can definitely hang out at my table and chat. I always enjoy it. And are you going, Eric?
Yeah, I'm going to try to make it up there. Yep, absolutely.
Excuse me. Yeah, that would be cool. You should come and hang out at the table. Eric will be there. I'll be there, and it'll be fun.
Yep. What else do I have? You have you can check us out on Facebook at Morelia Python Radio. If you have any questions, guest suggestions, any topics you want us to hit on, you can always contact us at MoreliaPythonRadio@gmail.com. And next week, well, actually for the next 2 weeks, we go into Scrub Python time. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Should be a pretty cool show. I think the as far as scrubs go, I think Blake Bauer is pretty much the guy that's the go-to guy for scrub pythons. And he's going to be on here. So definitely get your questions. Any kind of, you know, if you want to call in, that would be great. And talk to Blake. And then after that, we have David Means coming on. And he's local.
Double
dose
of scrub stuff. Yeah.
I got a couple of scrubs from him, and they're pretty awesome. I feel like I'm forgetting something. Oh, and the calendar is up there on Morelia Python. It is Kathy over there. She goes by Insomniac 101. She's going to have a poll coming up where you guys can go on there and pick which pictures you want in the calendar. And I think they're, I don't have it in front of me, but I want to say they're maybe $13.95, and I think it's $5 shipping or whatever. And it's definitely worth it. Put it in your snake room. Yeah.
Mark out when you're going to the shows. Yeah.
All year long.
Yeah, it works.
Contact her over there on Morelia Pythons and get some calendars.
Okay.
That's all
and
I got. What do you got, Owen?
For me, you can always reach me at rogue-reptiles.com. Also, you can find Rogue Reptiles on Facebook. Right now, I have a poll up on Rogue Reptiles. I just got myself a new tiger jungle female, and she needs a name, and I'm terrible at naming females. So I put a poll up there on who can name the new very pretty tiger jungle that I got. So definitely go on there and tell me what you think. Tell me which ones you want, and I swear I will go by whoever votes the most, whichever name gets the most votes. So,
cool.
Yeah, I figure, you know, if it works real well, maybe I'll let them start naming other stuff. You know, no write-ins, none of that. So,
okay.
But that's all I got, Eric. If you're done, I'm good.
Okay, I just remind everybody, definitely check out Mojo Reptiles.
I'll have my pictures of my tiger girl like the second I get her home after December 3rd. I'm like uber excited. So definitely check her out.
Yeah. Please
Mo's
post
got good stuff.
This time.
I'll do that. I'm sorry. I'll work on that.
So, yeah, I just want to thank Mo for coming on, and that's all I got.
All right. Well, then I wish everybody out there who's listening a good night. Also, very happy Thanksgiving, Eric. Good night to you, and I wish you and your family a very happy Thanksgiving.
Likewise.
All right. And we will catch everybody next week. All right? Everybody have
okay.
a good night, and we'll talk to you then.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good night.